We're holding on an Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about a machloikas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Now we know like this. We said we had there's Eruv Chatzeres, which you need in order to be able to carry in a chotzer, that the people who live in the houses that open out to the chotzer should be able to carry there. Then you have shituf mevoyas, which is in order that the people who live in the various chatzeres, in the various houses that are open to the chatzeres, should be able to carry into the mavoy. Sometimes you also have where the house is open directly into the mavoy. So we said you have two different things. There's eruv chatzeres, and there's shituf mevoyas. Many of the dinim of them are similar, but there are a number of differences. One of them being that eruv chatzeres has to be done with bread, whereas shituf mavoyas can be done with almost any kind of food. So we discussed yesterday. We started discussing the question: if you made one of those, do you need to make the other one? We said the Chachamim said it can be one or the other. You can make an Eruv and then rely on it as a Shituf or vice versa. And Reb Meir says, no, you need both. We discussed yesterday, would that mean according to Reb Meir, if you only made a Shituf Mavoyas, for example, would that mean that you can't even carry in the Chatzer even if you're talking about an individual chatzer, or are we just talking about carrying between the chatzeres? That's we'll revisit that at the end when we talk about who the halacha is like, Bez Hashem. Anyway, so that we had that machlokas, whether you need an eruv as well as a shituf, or whether you can use an eruv and it'll do double duty as a shituf or vice versa. Reb Meir had said no, the Chachamim said yes. So the Gemara says, Pligi bo Reb Nachumi v'Rabba. Reb Nachumi and Rabba have a machloikas within that machloikas of Reb Meir and the Chachamim, how to understand it. Agos Abach, by the way, changes the names to Reb Nachumi and Rabba Bar Yosef, in which case, actually, it's not just a difference of names, it would be a difference of generations also, because Reb Nachumi and Rabba Bar Yosef, or Rabbi Yosef, we find in other places, are actually among the Uli Rabbanan Sevoroi. The Reb Shuda Goyen mentions them in his Igeres. So we know in various places that the Rabbanan Sevaroi added certain editorial additions to the Gemara. So this would be one of them. Anyway, Chad Omar, between these two Amiroim, Reb Nachumi and Rabba, or Reb Nachumi and Rabba Bar Yosef, Chad Omar bepast kula amalei pligi de bechoda sagi. One of them says that everybody agrees, both Reb Meir and the Chachamim, that if you use bread for your Eruv or Shituf, then you can make it do double duty for the other. Because since bread can be used for both, since bread can be used equally well for an Eruv or for Shituf, then it can do double duty. So therefore, even Reb Meir would agree that if you call it a shituf, for example, you say, I'm making this as a shituf mavoyas, it can count for the chatzeres as well, to be able to carry in the chatzeres or between the chatzeres or whatever, and vice versa. The machlokas would be if they used wine, where wine can't be used for an eruv of chatzeres, you dafka have to use bread. So the machlokas would be dafka if they used wine, for the shituf mavoyas. So Reb Meir would say you can't use it for an eruv chatzeres. What do you mean? You can't use wine? Doesn't work for an eruv. The Chachamim would say, okay, fine. You know, it's true. An eruv chatzeres is not supposed to be made with wine. But once you already have that, you can use it for a shituf. Then the Chachamim, in other words, Rashi says the Chachamim in effect say to Reb Meir, look, you agree that there is a case where something can do double duty, namely where it's bread. So then in that case, we would say also where it's suitable for one thing, then you could use it for the other. Wine being suitable for a shituf mavayas will also work for an eruv chatzeres to make it that you should be able to carry from one chatzer to the other. So that's one way of understanding the machlokas. The other one says the other way around. If they used wine for the shituf mavoyas, even the chachamim are going to agree that you can't use that for the eruv chatzeres because wine doesn't work for an eruv. So then you would need both the eruv and the shituf. Ki pligi bepas, the machlokas, according to the second opinion, davka would be if they used bread. So then you use bread for the Eruv. Reb Meir would say that doesn't work for the Shittuf as well, even though bread in and of itself can work for a Shittuf. But nevertheless, you only designate it for the Eruv. So therefore, that's it, and vice versa. And then, if you use bread, then you'd have the machlokas, and if you use wine, then for sure you'd need a separate eruv and shittuf. That's how Rashi explains. That's how Rashi explains the first opinion. Tosfos discusses it a little bit and says that Tosfos brings that the Ri explains that what we're talking about is suppose they use bread specifically for the shittuf, according to the first opinion that we're saying there's no machlokas when they use bread. The point is not so much because bread can do double duty because it serves for a chotzer as well, just the very fact that they could have used wine for the shittuf mavoyis. And in fact, we said yesterday, maybe a possibility that the Gemara is saying that that's the ideal thing to do. And they went to the trouble of using bread instead, which is something much more basic that people need. People are more easily able to give away a small amount of wine towards a shittuf than they are bread. And they went to the trouble. They would doichik themselves to use bread. Then according to that opinion, maybe we would say that strengthens it and makes it that it can do double duty as an eruv as well. But vice versa, the Ri would say, if they use bread for the Eruv Chatzeres, you wouldn't necessarily say, even according to the first opinion, that it would necessarily work for the Shittuf as well, because of course they had to use bread. There's no other choice. You have to use that for an Eruv Chatzeres.
You have to announce that this is for both
Tosfos also discusses that point. Would you actually need to? What are you saying because you use a different word eruv versus shittuf, then therefore that would make a difference? Not necessarily. So you had in mind what it's going to be for, but not, and it doesn't necessarily depend on whether you're calling it eruv or shittuf. Okay, I mean, Tosfos also goes on to say that you could talk about that. Suppose, let's say imagine that you had one or two chatzeres made an eruv together. They didn't think that anybody was planning to join in a shittuf mavoyis because they didn't think that anybody has need to carry in the mavoi. Then all of a sudden, all the other people from the mavoi come and say, you know what, we'd like to join in as well. Maybe not necessarily would we call that a shittuf because they didn't have in mind when they gathered it in the first place that they're going to include everybody else. Okay. So those are two ways of understanding the machlokas. The Gemara says Meisvi, I have a contradiction. We have one opinion that if they make an eruv with bread, then it counts for shittuf or vice versa. And the other one that says that, but if they use wine, then you have a machlokas. And the other one says, no, if they use wine, if they use wine, definitely they need both. And the machlokas is if they use bread. So the Gemara says, Meisvi. The Braisa said, we quoted before, that the Chachamim say either you make an Eruv or a Shittuf. Now, what does that mean? B'pashtus, each one with its own kind of thing. My love, it sounds like the Chachamim are saying either you make an Eruv in the Chatzar, which involves bread, or you make a Shittuf in the Mavoi, which involves wine. So it sounds like the Chachamim are saying that even if you use wine for the Shittuf, that's good enough. So that would be a problem on the second opinion that says that if it's wine, you definitely need both. The answer is Amar of Gidol Amar Rab, Hachi Kamar. Not necessarily, because Braisa could mean Oy Ma'arvin B'chotzer B'pas Mutar and Kan B'kan. Either you make an Eruv in the Chotzer with bread, and then you mutter in both places, the Chotzer and the Mavui. Oy Mishtatvim B'mavui B'pas Mutar and Kan B'kan. Or you make a Shittuf in the Mavui using bread, and again, you'd be allowed to carry in either place. So not necessarily is the Braisa saying anything about using wine. It mentions the Eruv versus the Shittuf, but it may mean that in both cases you use bread, which would fit with the second opinion that because you used bread, then therefore the Chachamim are saying it's good for both. But if you had used wine, then the Chachamim would in fact say that you do need a separate Eruv as well. Okay. Who is the halacha like? Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, halacha ki Rav Meir. So the Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the halacha is like Rav Meir. So the halacha means, within that, you'd have the question according to which of the two versions, but fine, the halacha is like Rav Meir. V'Rav Huna Amar Minhag ki Rav Meir. Rav Huna says, it doesn't mean, not that the halacha is like Rav Meir, the minhag is like Reb Meir. But Rabbi Yechanan Nagua Omker Reb Meir. Rabbi Yechanan says the people have a minhag like Reb Meir. So in other words, we learned this kind of thing before in the Masechta, and Rashi mentions we have the distinction that if we say halacha could Reb Meir, then it means. If we say halacha ked a mayor, it means that we actually darshan in public and tell people to follow the mayor. If we say minhag means that we tell an individual person who comes to ask a shayla, you should do like the mayor, but we don't paskin that way in public. And nagu, the third one, Rabbi Yechanan's nagu, would mean that we don't tell them this is the halacha, but if they do it that way, we don't have to be moicha in them. Which leads Tosfos to ask, what do you mean to be moicha? And if they want to make an eruv and a shittuf, what's the problem? Why should there be an issue that we should say there's any hava mina to be moicha anyway? So Tosfos gives several different answers. The simplest one, the first one. So what happens if they make an eruv and a shittuf and they make a separate bracha on each one? Would it be a bracha levatala? If we say that the halacha is not necessarily like Reb Meir, it would be that it might be according to the Chachamim that you only need one or the other, then it would be a bracha levatala to make the other one. Whereas if you say that nagu could Reb Meir and we don't have to be moicha, then fine. You want to do that and you want to make both brachas, then go ahead and do that. The Chachamim are not going to object to that. Reb Meir is the more machmer, that's the thing. So the question is, why would we object if somebody, Tosfos is asking, why would we object if somebody is doing like Reb Meir such that we should say nagu, that okay, if a person does that, we don't have to be moicha. No, so that's the thing. Nagu means they're noyig that way. People are noyig to follow Reb Meir, but the implication is, Rashi says, Oiruya nami loimirinan. If somebody comes to ask a shayla, what do I need to do? Do I need an eruv and a shittuf? We'll tell them, no, you don't. V'i ovud loimachinin bohu. But if they do it, we don't have to be moicha. So Tosfos says, what kind of macha? Ma macha shayach kind of machmirin could Reb Meir last eruv v'shittuf? And then so Tosfos gives four different answers for it. So that's something else. Yeah, no, that's Bnei Yisrael Achmiru Alatzman. Anyway, that's a different lashon. Yeah. But okay, anyway, Tosfos gives a few other answers. L'maisa l'halacha you have like this. We do say like Reb Meir. But what we say is, again, we had the lashon over here that if they use bread for one, then everybody agrees it counts for the other one. So that's generally what we do nowadays, it says in Shulchan Aruch, because we just make an Eruv using pass, and therefore it works both as an Eruv and as a Shittuf. So for example, you're making a community-wide Eruv, you can use bread for it, even though a community-wide Eruv is more as a Shittuf, and then shouldn't you need to make separate Eruvin in the Chatzeres? So as we said yesterday, the idea is, That we said yesterday, the reason why Reb Meir is saying why you need both an Eruv and a Shidduf is Shaloy L'Shakeach Toras Eruv Minat Tinoikas. You don't want that the children, that the next generation is going to think you don't need an Eruv Chatzeres at all. So when you use bread, though, they know where bread is, especially as we said, the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch, you hang it up in the shul, so everybody sees that it's there. So therefore, everybody recognizes it, and therefore, there's no problem of L'Shakeach Toras Eruv. So therefore, you can do that. You're able to use bread for that. If you used something else, if you used wine, for example, then it says you can be soimachanit bedoichak for one Shabbos to be able to carry in the chatzeres. But other than that, if you want to be able to carry in the chatzeres, you need a proper eruv of chatzeres then. So usually we say halacha k'divrei ha-meikol be'eruv, right? But I mean, well, that's, you know, again, if we say nagu om k'divrei ha-meikol, I mean, technically the halacha is like the chachamim, but people are noyig like Reb Meir, and we don't tell them that they shouldn't be doing that. Again, meaning that they could make both brachas and so forth. So yeah, you do have a case, for example, where if they make a shittuf using bread, for example, and then they also want to make an eruv using bread, maybe taka they shouldn't be doing that, or if they want to do that, they shouldn't be making a bracha. Maybe that would be a bracha levatala. Or if they're doing bread versus wine, then yeah. But also, I think that it also talks about in Shulchan Aruch a distinction between, are we talking about that they want to make the Eruv in order to carry within their chotzer itself, or are we talking about to carry between chatzeres that have a doorway between them? Where again, if they made a shittuf mavoyis, they shouldn't need an Eruv chatzeres to carry between one chotzer and another, because they can anyway go by way of the mavoy.
That's
So if there's an opening between, if there's an opening between the chutz, between one chutz and the other, and each one has an end, has an opening to the mavoi, of course, yeah. If not, then there, then there's nothing to talk about carrying from one chutz to another anyway, right? Okay. Mishnah says, Chamisha chavuris sheshav se betraklin echad. If you have five groups of people, or of course not exactly five, it just means a few groups of people, sheshav se betraklin echad, they're staying for Shabbos in one big building. And what they did is, traklin means a big room or a big building or something. What they did is we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what they did, but basically we're talking about they're not just all staying in the one big room. They have some kind of dividers between them. We'll see in the Gemara exactly we don't mean that they divided off areas for davening and eating. We mean that each one has a divided area for themselves. We'll see in the Gemara exactly how much division. But imagine, for example, let's say you have, back in the good old days, for example, when camp would come in when Gan Yisrael Parksville, for example, would come in when Chafav was on Shabbos, and they'd come in and spend Shabbos in the Olei Torah ballroom. So there you had, okay, so there there's no divisions at all. All the bunks are just in the same room. But imagine they put up, let's say, partitions between one bunk and another. That would be the kind of thing we're talking about over here. So Bishamai says each one needs a separate Eruv in the sense that each one needs to individually participate by giving food towards the Eruv, because in effect it's like five houses open into one chotzer. And also Rashi says if they want to be able to carry from one to the other, they need to make an Eruv between them. Basil says you don't need that. It's good enough to have one Eruv for all of them, because this mechitza is not considered to divide them, as we'll see in the Gemara. Why not? So they'd be able to carry from one group to another without making an Eruv. And if they want to carry out into the rest of the traklin or into the chotzer or whatever, then they only need one Eruv contribution of food for all of them. The Gemara is going to speak about how large the room is. That's not really relevant. What's relevant is the height of the mechitzis. The height, we're going to be dealing with the height of the mechitzis and the permanence or lack thereof of the mechitzis. That's going to be what drives the sugya. Again, if they don't make mechitzis at all, if they just have, like I said, all the bunks are there in one room and there's no mechitzis between them, there's nothing to talk about. Even Beis Shammai is going to agree that they're all considered one group. Continues the Mishnah. Now, if you want to be technical about it, by the way, I mean, if we're talking about that this traklin is in a chotzer where other people are living there as well, if they're just there for one Shabbos, like this, for example, for Shabbos Chafav, they don't need to join in the Eruv anyway. They're like guests, and guests don't need to join in the Eruv. So we're talking about that they're actually there for more than 30 days, or we're talking about that, or maybe we could also be talking about where they're the only ones in that chotzer, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will agree that if some of them are staying in separate rooms or on the second floor, where then, in other words, those are rooms that are separated permanently with actual walls, then they need a separate Eruv for each group, because then definitely each one being in a separate room or a separate floor or whatever is considered a separate group, and therefore it's like the equivalent of having a bunch of apartments in a building where each one needs to contribute towards the Eruv. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Nachman, Machloikus b'Mesipas. The Machloikus we're talking about in our Mishnah over here is where the groups are divided with a Mesipas. A Mesipas is a low wall made, Rashi says, out of pieces of wood. The same idea would be, for example, if they use sheets or something. There's a different explanation that the Aruch brings from the Gaonim, and Tosfos also brings it in Bava Basra, that a Mesipas is a wall that has a lot of windows in it. Like it's sort of like we learned earlier in the Masechta, we talked about what kind of things are considered mechitzis for Shabbos. You can have a case over there where you just have like almost like a chain link fence or something. The point is that you have, a stick here, a stick there, and you have large spaces between one and the next. So that would be another definition of Mesipas. So then when you have that, then Basila would say that's not enough to divide them into separate groups. Avo b'mechitza asora, but if they have a mechitza, if they have a mechitza 10 tfachim tall between one group and the next, divrei hakol eruv l'chol chavura v'chavura, then everybody would agree that you need a separate eruv for each group, because the fact that they have mechitzas of 10 tfachim between them is enough to make them considered as if they were living in separate apartments. Ikadamri, another version of what Rav Nachman says, is Amar Rav Nachman, af b'mesipas machlokas. The second version is that, no, Rav Nachman is saying that even when there's only a mesipas, Beis Shammai is also saying that that each group is considered separate. So the first lashon is Beis Shammai the first lashon then is a mesipas. They both say that you'd have the machlokas and mechitzas asara. You'd say everybody agrees separate eruvin, separate contributions. The second version is that Beis Shammai is arguing in both cases whether there's a mesipas or whether there's a mechitza asara. Beis Shammai would say that each group is considered separate, and Beis Hillel would say that they're considered one big group. So according to, well, no, not Beis Hillel's machmir. Beis Hillel is saying that Beis Hillel is saying eruv echad lekulon, even when there's a again, according to the first lashon, Beis Shammai would agree if there's a mesipas, then you don't need separate eruvin. You just need one eruv because the mesipas is not enough to divide them. According to the second lashon, a mesipas is enough to divide them also. But Rav Nachman had said that if there's mechitza asara, then you need eruv l'chol chavura v'chavura. According to the second lashon, b'pashtus, the same thing. That if there's mechitza asara, then Beis Hillel would say that would also agree that you need a separate eruv for each one. So in the first lashon, the machlokas is only when there's a mechitza asara, and in the second lashon, the machlokas is whether there's a mesipas or whether there's a mechitza asara. Yeah. Because the fact that they have a mesipas between them, according to Beis Shammai, is enough to divide them into separate groups. So therefore, it's the equivalent of people living in separate apartments that all open out into one chatzar. No. When we say everyone, no. L'chol echad ve'echad means that each one has to contribute towards the eruv. In other words, the point is, Rashi explains on the Mishnah, you have, let's say, for example, if a bunch of people are living in houses in a chatzar and they all join in an eruv, and now they want to join the next chatzar over into their eruv, they don't each need to contribute a new thing towards the second eruv. They're now all considered one person. So the same thing over here, Beis Hillel would consider them as if they were one group, one person, one group, whatever, and therefore they just need one contribution of food towards the eruv, as opposed to Beis Shammai would be saying separate ones. So then the Gemara is, now we have more opinions on the subject. Pligi bar Rab Chiya v'Rab Shimon b'Rebbi. Then you have a machlokas of Rab Chiya and Rab Shimon b'Rebbi with more opinions about the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Chad omer machlokas b'mechitzas hamagias l'tikra. One of them says the machlokas is only when the mechitzas reach the walls. So now Tosfos says there would be a distinction between, we said in the Mishnah that if they're in separate rooms or whatever, then they definitely need each one to contribute separately towards the Eruv. And by the way, another thing of it is also when we say they have to contribute separately also means that if one of them doesn't, then you have a problem and then you need Bito Roshos or whatever, as opposed to if you say they're all considered one group, if one of them forgets to join in, big deal. It's the equivalent of you have a bunch of people living in one house and one person in that house doesn't join in the Eruv. Doesn't matter. You have one person does it on behalf of the whole household. We usually, yeah, we say, you know, Bashchuna Azois, Ba'ir Azois, whatever, yeah. So between Rab Chiya and Rab Shimon b'Rebbi, so one is saying that the machloikas is if the walls reach all the way to the ceiling, meaning, in other words, we're not talking about permanent walls. If they were permanent walls, then we said in the Mishnah Beis Hillel agrees that each one needs their own separate contribution. What we mean is that they're temporary walls, they're makeshift walls, and they don't reach the ceiling. They don't reach the ceiling. If they do reach the ceiling. If they do reach the ceiling, that's when we're saying it's the machlokas. Avam chitzas she'en magias l'tikra. But if they don't reach the ceiling, even though they're more than 10 tefachim tall, divrei hakol eruv echad l'kulam, then everybody would agree that they can just give one, that one eruv counts for all of them. In other words, they're all considered one big household. B'chad Omer, the other one says the other way around. Machlokas mechitza she'en magias l'tikra. The machlokas is where the mechitzas don't reach all the way to the ceiling. Ava mechitzas amagias l'tikra. But if they reach the ceiling, even if they are makeshift mechitzas, like we're talking about over here, divrei hakol tzirich an eruv l'chol chavura v'chavura, then everybody would agree that you need a separate eruv for each group. So we have four different opinions of what Bes Shammah and Bes Hillel hold, respectively. We have the two versions of Reb Nachman, that it depends on whether it was on whether it's a mesipus, which is a low mechitza, versus a mechitza asara. So that we said the Gaonim learned that Mesipus means one that has a lot of open windows in it. So the Gemara just used the word Mesipus. So according to the two versions of Reb Nachman, the first version is that if there's a Mesipus, Bes Shammai would be saying that you need that each one is considered a separate group. Bes Hillel is saying not. If there's a Mechitza Asara, then it's definitely separate groups. The second version of Reb Nachman, according to Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel, the second version of Reb Nachman was that Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel agree that Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel disagree in both cases, whether there's a Mesipus or whether there's a Mechitza Asara. And then we have Reb Chia and Reb Shimon B'Rebbe, that it depends on whether they reach the ceiling. And then there's two ways of understanding. Again, is it that if they reach the ceiling, then you have the machlokas, but if they don't reach the ceiling, then they both agree, Eruv Echad L'Kolan? Or is it the other way around? If they don't reach the ceiling, then there's the machlokas. And if they reach the ceiling, then definitely separate Eruvin for each one, meaning that each one needs to contribute separately, and each one is considered a separate household, and they need to do Bitul Roshos if one of them forgets, etc. What? Not separate brachas, because again, they're all making one eruv in order to be able to carry into the chatzar of this place. But, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mesvi. I have a contradiction. We're going to go through all four opinions that we just said and see which ones this braisa that we're going to quote, which ones it supports and which ones it contradicts. Amar Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar. Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar said, now what's the name Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar? And by the way, this is the only place in Shas that he's mentioned. We've talked about before something that the Rogachover said about that every Masechta has one Tana or one Amora who's not mentioned anywhere else in Shas. We talked about it in connection with about 120 or so years ago, somebody came out with what he claimed was the Yerushalmi on Kodshim that he found in Kisvei Yad. So there was a huge debate about it among the Rabbanim and the Gedolei Yisrael of that time. Is it genuine or did he forge it? So the Rogachover weighed in on it and said, you look at it, you don't find any new names of Tanoim or Amoraim that you don't find anywhere else. And therefore, on that basis, he said that it's forged. And which in the end, it turned out Attacker was. Anyway. So why is he called Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar? Rashi says because he was very sharp. Sabar, Meloshon Savara. So therefore, he's called Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar. Tosfos gives a couple of other explanations. One is that the word is not HaSabar, but HaSaboch from Rabbeinu Hananel. A svacha is like a screen or a network or whatever. So it means he would weave net-like things for a living, like, for example, hair nets. So that was his parnasa. So it was called that Rabbi Yehuda HaSabach because of that. Tosfos gives a third explanation. There's a city in Eretz Yisrael mentioned in Sefer Yeshua called Schocha. So maybe he came from there. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda HaSakach, and he's called that because he came from the city of Schocha. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar says, Loi nechlaku Bes Shammah Bes Hillel al mechitzas amagias l'tikra. Bes Shammah and Bes Hillel did not disagree when it comes to mechitzas that go all the way up to the ceiling, meaning even these makeshift mechitzas that we're talking about. Shetzrichen eruv l'chol chavura v'chavura, then definitely each group needs to participate separately in the eruv with all of the implications that we said, meaning that each one of them needs to give food towards the eruv, and if one of them forgets, then they're going to need to be mevatel reshus, etc. Al men nechlaku, says Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar, what is the machlokas Bes Shammah Bes Hillel al mechitzas she'ein magias l'tikra, only if the mechitzas don't reach all the way to the ceiling, then Bes Shammah emim eruv l'chol chavura v'chavura, or Bes Hillel emim eruv echad l'kulan, where then Bes Shammah says they're still considered separate groups and each one needs their own contribution to the eruv. And Bes Hillel says that no, you can just have, they're all considered one big group and they only need to make one contribution. And if some of them don't contribute, then it doesn't matter because the group as a whole contributed. So let's go through the four opinions. Lamanda Omar b'machitzas amagias l'tikra machloikas. We had the machloikas on Omar Aleph of Rav Chia and Rav Shimon b'Rebbe. We said chad omer, but chad omer. So the first one said, the machloikus was when the machitzis on magias latikra. So according to that one, according to that one, tiyuvda, then this braisa would contradict that, because Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba is clearly saying that the machloikus is only when they're not, when they don't reach the ceiling. The second version that said that the machloikus is only when the machitzis don't reach the ceiling, good, siyaita, then that this braisa supports that opinion. And what about the two versions of Rab Nachman? According to the first Lashon that Rab Nachman had said, the first Lashon of Rab Nachman, that the Machloikus is specifically when there's a Mesipas, a low wall, less than 10 Tfachim, or a wall with lots of windows in it, whatever, between them. And then that's when the machlokas b'shama b'silul is. But if it's 10 tfachim, then they both agree that they need separate contributions. So according to that tiyufta, then also this braisa would contradict that version of Rabbi Nachman, because if the walls are more than 10 tfachim tall, they're still far below the level of the ceiling. A traklin b'pashtus has a high ceiling, much more than 10 tfachim tall. A traklin is a large room. Like having Pirkei Avos, for example, Haskinatzah Chabaprozu Kedushit Tikonas Lachraklin. Prepare yourself in the waiting room in the hallway or whatever. Meaning in Olam Hazeh, in order that you'll go into the Traklin. Yeah, like the Simcha Hall of Olam Hazeh. Yeah. I gave an example before that, for example, back in the old days, when the camps would come in for Chafav, would come into Crown Heights for Chafav, and if Chafav was Shabbos, then they would stay over Shabbos in the ballroom in Olei Torah. So there, they didn't actually make mechitzis between the bunks. But let's say, hypothetically, if they were to make mechitzis between the bunks, then we'd have the scenario that we're talking about over here. So Ela lahach lishna d'amar of Nachman af b'mesipas machlokas. Now, according to the second Lashon that Rav Nachman said, the machlokas is in both cases, whether there was a mesipas or whether there's a mechitza of 10 tfachim. Would we have to say necessarily that this braisa of Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba is a stira to that version of Rabbi Nachman as well? So the Gemara says no. Amalach Rabbi Nachman, pligi b'mechitza, not necessarily. You could say like this: they are arguing when there's a mechitza that doesn't quite reach the ceiling. That's what Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba is saying. If the mechitza doesn't quite reach the ceiling, but it's more than 10 tefachim, let's say. So they're arguing in that case. As a matter of fact, they're actually arguing in the case of a mesipas as well. So the reason why Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba rather is talking in terms of mechitzas hamagias latikra and ein magias latikra is lo'hidiach ha'koichan debes hillel. Because the Mishnah and the Braisa want us to show how far Bes Hillel is going in being Mekel. That even though there's an actual mechitza, not just a mesipas, but it doesn't reach all the way to the ceiling, still Bes Hillel is going to be Mekel and consider them one big group and require only one eruv contribution from all of them. So the question is, so why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba mention, according to that version of Rabbi Nachman, why shouldn't he mention that they're arguing about the case of Mesipas, and show with that how far Bes Shammai is going in being Machmir, that even when there's only a Mesipas between them, even though a Mesipas is not a real Mechitza, it's not 10 Tfachim tall, or it has a lot of spaces in it, or whatever, even then Bes Shammai is saying that's enough to divide them into separate groups? And the answer is, as the Gemara answers in other places, koyach dehatera odif. The koyach of being matir is stronger. So at the beginning of Beitza, Rashi explains over there, the idea is like this. If a tana or an amoda is machmir, not necessarily is it because he holds it taka must be that way by logic. It could be he's not sure whether to be machmir or to be mekel. And mitzad asafik is being machmir to be on the safe side. But if a tana or an amoda is mekel, then we know they then we know they have to have come to that by svara or by learning from their rebbeim or whatever, because they then they're saying we don't even need to be on the safe side. We can be certain that we can be makel. So therefore, when we have a choice of highlighting whether that we have one tana is being machmir very far in one direction and the other one is being makel very far in one direction, we would rather highlight how far the one who's being makel is going. And therefore, we do that by we do that by saying over here that they're arguing about a mechitza. So not necessarily is Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba's Braisa contradicting Rabbi Nachman's second version that the machloikas about Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel is both by a mesipas and by a proper mechitza. It would contradict Rabbi Nachman's first version, because in Rabbi Nachman's first version they were only arguing. And in his first version, they were only arguing about a mesipas. They both agreed that if it's 10 tefachim tall, then you need separate eruv, then you need separate contributions to the eruv. And Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba clearly said that it's not like that. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba. So Rav Nachman says, in the name of Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba. Now, Mefoshim point out that, first of all, Tosfos points out that would have to mean necessarily according to the second Lashon of Rav Nachman. Because again, we said the first Lashon of Rav Nachman is contradicted by that Braisa. He can't very well say that he holds that opinion and then say that that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba. With that said, a couple of the other Rishonim bring various other possibilities. One is maybe a girsa over here that it's not Rav Nachman, but rather Rabbi Yehuda saying this in the name of Rav. So in that case, fine. Rav Nachman has his opinion, the first version that we had of him and Amud Aleph, and Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav has a different opinion. Another possibility is that maybe Rabbi Nachman is saying in the name of Rav that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba. He himself would disagree. He himself has his own shitta that we said would be contradicted by the Braisa. But fine, that's Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba's version of Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel. Rabbi Nachman could understand that there's another possible understanding of the machlokas Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel according to other Tanoim. Okay. Amr of Nachman Yitzchak Masnissin Nami Deka. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, actually, you can see from the wording of the Mishnah that like Rabbi Yehuda HaSaba's understanding of the machlokas, that we're talking about whether the mechitzas reach the ceiling or not. Because Dikatoni, the Mishnah had said, we said Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel both agree that if the people are staying, if the groups are staying in different rooms or in different or on different floors, then each one needs to make their own contribution to the Eruv in order to be able to carry in the Chatzar. We have to stress, by the way, we are talking about where each of these groups has their own individual exit to the Chatzar. If they don't, then actually we're going to have a case later on near the end of the perek. You have a case where you have some chatzeres that have to walk through others, where there we say not necessarily does each one have to contribute towards the eruv, because the only way in and out. So here we have to be talking about that each one has their own separate entrance and exit. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so the Mishnah had said both Bes Shammai Bes Hillel agree that if they're staying in separate rooms or on separate floors, that then they need a separate eruv contribution from each group. So we have to figure out, says Rav Nachman, what kind of rooms and what kind of separate floors are we talking about over here? If it means literally separate rooms that were to begin with built as separate rooms with actual permanent walls between one room and the next, and the same thing with aliyas, pshita, wouldn't that be obvious? Of course, it should be no different than the case, let's say you have a bunch of people in an apartment building, or a bunch of people in an apartment building, let's say, and of course, each one is a separate household, and they need to contribute separately to the Eruv. So it must mean, says Rav Nachman, so the Mishnah is talking about, it's not literally separate rooms, separate permanently built rooms or separate permanently built aliyas. It means makeshift rooms or makeshift aliyas, meaning that they put up temporary walls. They put up temporary walls, whether of sticks, whether of sheets, or whether whatever, even to something more substantial, but they plan to take it down before they leave. So what would make it like a cheder or like an aliyah when they have walls that go all the way up to the ceiling? So that would be so that would be, in other words, and the Mishnah says that both Bishamai Bishillel agree that in that case they need a separate Eruv contribution for each one. So that fits with what Rabbi Huda Asabar is saying, that if the Mechitzis reach the ceiling, then they need a separate Eruv for each one. So in other words, the distinction would be that if they're permanent walls, or if they're temporary walls but they reach the ceiling, that's when Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai would both agree that each group is considered separate, and therefore each one needs to contribute separately to the Eruv. If you have walls that don't reach the ceiling, that's when Beis Hillel is saying that you don't need that you don't need Eruv Echad L'Kulam. That you can have Eruv Echad L'Kulam. They can all jointly contribute one contribution of food towards the Eruv. And again, according to Reb Nachman, we said that there is also that maybe there also they could also be arguing where there isn't even an actual mechitza between them, just a mesipas. Okay. Tana, we learn in a braisa, b'med v'ram amurim. When is all this talking about that? Was saying that they have to give separate contributions to the Eruv. Only if they're bringing their Eruv to a different place within that chotzer. So you have these five groups in the tracklin. Then you have other people that live in other houses in the chotzer. So you can have, you know, the Eruv food has to be placed in one of the houses of the chotzer. So let's say it was decided that the Eruv food is going to be placed in one of the other houses. B'chlal, you have something that says in Gittin that that the Chachamim said that if you regularly place the Eruv food in a certain house, you should continue placing it there mifnei davke shalom. One reason, the reason why it's davke shalom, the person who the Eruv food is in their house doesn't actually have to contribute food towards the Eruv. So like this, it helps with davke shalom. Like this, they're likely to say, if it's moved someplace else, so why all of a sudden are you making me now have to contribute where I didn't before? Keep it by me, so then I don't have to. So the point is, let's say all this time they always had that, they always had the Eruv food was being placed in one particular house in the chotzer. So even now that you have these five groups staying in the tracklin, they still continue to do that. That's when we have the machlokas b'shama b'shilol, whether they need to give five contributions of food or just one. Avalim hoya eruvan ba etzlan, but if the eruv is actually being placed in the tracklin, in someplace in the tracklin by one or the other of the groups, divrei hakol eruv echad lekulan, then everybody, both Bishama and Bishilla, would agree that you only need one contribution for all of them. Which actually the Ritva says, if it's actually in the tracklin, really they don't need to contribute at all. We just said the house where the eruv food is being placed doesn't need to contribute towards the eruv. He says it means then that if there were a scenario where for whatever reason they had to contribute, they'd still only need to contribute one thing. No, that's it. Has to be all together. The food has to be all together, obviously, right? But no. But what we're saying is like this. In other words, so you have 10 other houses in the chotzer, and then you have these five groups over here. So we're saying in the scenario. So we're saying in the with the different scenarios that we said before about mechitzas and magias latikra or not. So but all together. So then Beis Shammai would be saying, and in certain cases Beis Hillel would be agreeing that you need five separate contributions of food of a gregeris for each one of these five groups, and then you have one gregeris each for the other 10 houses, and altogether it's placed the 15 gregeris then are placed in one of the houses, as opposed to if it came in, and then there are cases where Basilil says, all you need is one from all five groups together. And then you have, if it's being placed in the track, then we're saying they only need to contribute one gregeris across the five groups. No, it doesn't. Well, it could be, but it could just be that one person. It could just be that one person in the group takes one gregeris. Doesn't even have to be necessarily be mezakeh to them. If we consider them to all be one group, then again, it would be the same thing as when you make an eruv chatzeris in your house to be able to carry in your side yard or whatever. That you take the food and do it. You know, you don't have to separately for you. You don't have to separately for your wife and your children, as we're going to have in the next Mishnah about people who all eat together at one table. Yeah. Okay. So now Rashi points out that this, the Tana of this Braisa, apparently disagrees with the previous thing that we were saying about Mechitzis and not. He's saying that even according to Beis Shammai, the fact that they're all in one big building, the fact that they're all in one tracklin, makes them connected, so they shouldn't need that. So in other words, that would mean, first of all, it means only one contribution between all of them, but it also means they don't need, if they just want to be able to carry between the five groups, they don't need an Eruv for that purpose. Even according to Beis Shammai, this Tana would be said, the Tana of this Braisa would be saying that. So he would, what he would be saying is like this. The difference is, what happens if you have a bunch of people that made an Eruv in their chotzer and now they want to join with the next chotzer over? Do they all do can't now we've learned before, and this is the halacha, that you don't need all five of them to walk over. All you need is one person can walk over and bring over the food that they gathered together and bring it over to the next chatzah in order to join them in the Eruv. The Tana of our Braisa, says Rashi, would be disagreeing with that and saying that if you have the five of them are in one thing, fine, they don't need an Eruv in order to carry among themselves. But if they want to be able to carry in the chatzah along with everybody else who lives in the chatzah, then all five groups are going to need to go over and bring the food with them in order to join in the Eruv with the rest of the chatzah. Whereas Basila would be, whereas we're saying if the Eruv comes to them, then there's no shlichus and they're all in one big building. Therefore, Eruv Echad L'Kolon. But either way, the point is you wouldn't actually need to make separate Eruv. You wouldn't need to make an Eruv if they just wanted to carry within the building itself between the five of them. So that's how Rashi learns the statement in this Braisa. Tosfos actually points out in that case, Tosfos learns somewhat differently than Rashi and says that apparently the Braisa is coming to tell us something that Beis Shammai would hold. So the question is, why do we need to know the details of what Beis Shammai holds? So Tosfos says there's actually, we learned from it something about Beis Hillel that we said before, there's a distinction between Ke'en Chadorim Valdias versus actual Chadorim Valdias, where they have actual permanent walls between them versus just temporary makeshift walls that they put up for Shabbos. So Tosfos says then that we would say like this. If you have just mechitzis between them, temporary mechitzis, then Beis Hillel would be saying it doesn't matter whether they're bringing the Eruv from their place to another building or whether the Eruv food is being brought into them. Either way, they only need one. But if there were actual chadorim v'aliyos, then they might need separate ones. Regardless, Tosfos says, and they're actually it might. Be regardless of whether the Eruv is being placed in their building or in another building. So it would come out, in other words, that even though on this face of it, this Braisa is teaching us something according to Beis Shammai, it comes out as teaching us a detail according to Beis Hillel as well. If they have Ke'en Chadorim V'Aliyos, where we said they don't have permanent walls, but they have temporary walls which reach the ceiling, and we just said before that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, would both agree that then they need a separate Eruv contribution for each one, but Beis Hillel would be saying in that case, if the Eruv is coming to them, then they need only one. So it would come out according to Beis Hillel as well. Means that the food is going to be placed in that building, in their area, right? That's what we said. They could. We said mechitzas she'en magias the tikra. That was Rabbi Huda Saba was talking about at the top of the Amud. Yeah, you can have mechitzas. You can have temporary mechitzas which reach all the way to the ceiling versus which don't. So in other words, you would have three different possibilities. You have mechitzas that are less than 10 tefachim tall. You have mechitzas that are more than 10 tefachim tall but don't reach the ceiling. And then you have ones which reach the ceiling. And then you have permanent mechitzas. So permanent mechitzas, so Tosfos is learning over here, that permanent mechitzas, Beis Hillel would say either way they need separate contributions from each one, even if the Eruv is being brought into their, even if the Eruv food is being brought into their building. If they have temporary mechitzas, which reach the ceiling, then Beis Hillel says it depends whether they're bringing the Eruv someplace else or whether it's being brought to them, whether they need one or five. And if you have mechitzas that don't reach the ceiling, then Beis Hillel would say that Bechlau, they're all considered one group and you only need one Eruv contribution either way. No, so according to Beis Hillel, it would come out, according to Tosfos' understanding, according to the Braisa that we're saying now, it would mean there's two cases where Beis Hillel would say that each one needs a separate contribution. One is where they have mechitzas and agias latikra, temporary partitions that reach the ceiling, and in that case also, and you have a second detail also that the eruv food is being brought to another house in the chatzer. And then the other case would be if the other case would be if there are permanent walls between them, and then it doesn't matter where the eruv food is located. Yeah. Right. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Keman Ozla Hodatanya." Which opinion? It, according to which opinion would the following brisa go? Chamisha shegavu eseruv. And if you have five people who live in a chotzer and they made a chotzer, they made an eruv for their chotzer, and so they collected food between all of them. Gover means they collected, yeah. So now if they want to transfer the food to someplace else because they want to join the next chotzer over in their Eruv so that they can carry between their chotzer and the next chotzer. Eruv echad lekulon. So they only need one Eruv for all of them, meaning that they only need one Eruv for all of them, meaning only one of them has to go over and bring it. Keman kibes hillel. That would be according to Beis Hillel, because according to Beis Shammai, according to the Braisa we just quoted, Beis Shammai would be saying that all five of them need to go over and participate in it. The Ikadamri, another version of it goes, another version of it is that when are we saying that there's that the machlokas b'shama b'shilol is only when the eruv is being brought into their building. So exactly the opposite of the previous one. If the eruv is being brought to their building, that would be b'shama would still say that each one needs to participate separately in the eruv. Avalim hoyim elichin es eruv and lamakamacha. But if the eruv is being brought to a different building in the same chotzer, divrei hakol tzurichin eruv l'chavura v'chavura. Then we would say that everybody would agree that they need to separately participate in the eruv. So then, in other words, so now according to the second version, we would say Beis Shammai holds that even though they're all in one big building, and even though the eruv is coming to them, nevertheless, the fact that they're separated by mechitzas of some kind makes them that they're separate groups. Basila would be saying that if eruv ba etzlan, then we would say that not that they don't need that they only need one. But if the eruv is being taken elsewhere, then Basila would agree, according to this brisa, that they need that each one needs to contribute separately. So then, according to that, Keman Ozla Hodatanya Chamisha Shegavu Eseruv. And then, according to that, according to which of those opinions would the following brisa be that we say Chamisha Shegavu Eseruv and Kshemelichin Eseruv and Lamakam Acha Eruv Echad Lekulon, that if they're bringing their Eruv to someplace else, they need only one Eruv for all of them, meaning that only one of them has to participate with the next Chotzer. Keman Deloy Kachad. According to that last version, it wouldn't be according to Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. It would have to be a third opinion. Because according to that last version, even Beis Hillel agrees that if there's five groups in Traklin and they're bringing the Eruv to someplace else, that all five groups would need to go along and bring the Eruv with them. That was the first version. Now we're talking according to the second version. Yeah, I know it's a bit complicated, all the moving parts over here. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, Tosfos says Tosfos mentions at the end that the Gemara could have answered that. Let's say you're talking about. Let's say where you have chadorim v'aliyas gemurim, where not only they have permanent walls, but also let's say they have to go out through the traklin. So they actually the ones who are on the second floor, or the ones who are in the separate rooms or whatever, the only way to get in and out would be through the traklin, where the five groups are saying. Although Tosfos said that the Gemara didn't want to have to say that the Mishnah is like that, because it doesn't seem from the wording of the Mishnah it's like that. Like we said before, it sounds like each group has their own independent entrance and exit, and also maybe even Beis Hillel would agree in that case. So therefore, the Gemara is forced to say that this last brisa doesn't work according to Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. If we say that even Beis Hillel agrees that the five groups in the traklin over here, that they have to, if they're walking over the Eruv to another part of the Chatzar, that they all need to go with it, then that wouldn't work. Or then this brisa over here that says that only one of them needs to walk it over wouldn't be according to Beis Hillel. Okay. Mishnah says, "Ha'achin shoyish oichlan ashulchan avihim." If you have brothers who are all eating at their father's table, v'yishenim b'batehem, but they sleep in their own individual houses. So they all live in one chotzer, and they all have their own houses or apartments in the chotzer, but they all come together in order to eat. So then, Srichin Eruv L'Cholachad V'Echad, each one needs to do their own contribution to the Eruv. Meaning, if you have other people, as the mission is going to continue, if you have other people who are not related to them and are not eating at their father's table, who are living in the chatzer with them, then we would say that each one of them is considered a separate household for this purpose, and therefore they each need to contribute towards the Eruv, and if they don't, then they need to bitur rishos, etc. That's the thing, because they sleep separately. So that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara the actual details. We'll see. Lefichach im shachach echad mehem v'lo erev. Therefore, if one of them forgotten did not join in the erev, mevatalos rishos, then he's going to have to be mevatal rishos like any other case where a person forgot to join in the erev. There is, by the way, a different girsa. Rashi says hashutfin loygav sinan. There are rishonim who actually do have a girsa over here hashutfin. And said the same thing would apply if you have partners, or maybe we're talking about brothers who join together in a partnership, whatever it is, even though you would think maybe they're partners, maybe automatically they should be mevata rishus one to another in order to allow to carry. No, we're saying they have to, befeder should be mevata rishus, otherwise it's going to be also to carry in the chatzar. Amasai continues the Mishnah, when is this talking about? Bizman shemei lichin eruvan lamakam acher. Again, there's the distinction. If the Eruv is being placed in one of the other houses in the Chatzar. So therefore, in other words, the point is that you have other people living in that Chatzar, and because those other people are definitely considered separate Rishuyas, and they have to join in an Eruv, otherwise it's going to be Osir. Therefore, these members of this household are also going to have the same din where they have to join in, they have to participate in the Eruv, otherwise they're going to Osir separately. They have to participate each one individually in the Eruv, otherwise they're Osiring. Aval imhoya eruv bo'etzlan, but if the eruv was being brought to them, Rashi says it means it was being brought to their father's house, although some of the mafoshim say maybe it would even work if it's being brought to one of the children's houses, whatever. Or nobody else is living in the chatzer. Everybody who lives in the chatzer is a member of this household where they all eat by the father's table. Then they don't need to make an eruv because then they're all just considered like yechidim. So only if you have strangers in that chatzer and you have the eruv is being brought and placed in the house of one of those strangers, then we're saying each one needs to contribute separately. So for example, let's say an example of the second part of the Mishnah would be, let's say again, talking about camps. Let's say you consider, for example, a camp. Each bunk has their own bunk house and they sleep there, but they all go to the dining room and they all eat there together. So therefore, that would be the equivalent of the second part of the Mishnah. There's no other diurim. Nobody else lives over there who eats someplace else because they all eat from the same camp kitchen and they all eat in the same dining room. Therefore, they don't need an eruv of food for that. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shmamina Mokim Lina Gorim. Are you telling me, based on our Mishnah, that it seems that where they sleep at night is the key thing as far as whether they need, as far as whether they're considered separate households or not? It sounds like the Mishnah is saying that they sleep each in their own apartment, but they all eat by their father's table, and we're still saying that they're considered separate groups. It sounds like if they were to sleep in the father's house as well, then they would just be Eruv Echad L'Kolan. The problem is we're going to have later on, we'll learn it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, a Machloikas Rav and Shmuel, what is considered to be the place of the person as far as the dinim of Eruv Chatzeres, where they eat or where they sleep. So it sounds like the Mishnah is saying if they sleep there, then you don't need, but if they only eat there, then you do. So this is a contradiction on Rav, who's going to say that that the way you eat is considered the main thing. So why over here they're eating all in the same place? The answer is Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav b'mekabel pras shanu. What we're talking about over here in the Mishnah is they receive a portion from their father's house. They don't actually eat at his table. They receive food from his house, or some of the Mefarshim say that they receive money also from him, and then they receive spending money from him, and then they go and eat in their separate houses. So again, even with that, so they're actually eating and sleeping separately because they're makabele pras, though, if the Eruv comes to them, if the Eruv is being placed in their father's house or there's nobody else in the chatzah, then even that is good enough to make them be considered one big household. But if you have other people in the chatzah and the Eruv is being brought to those other people, then we would say that there can, because they eat, and Rav would say, because they eat and sleep separately, and the only thing they have in common is they're all receiving a pras from their father's house, then therefore, yeah. The Rambam actually, by the way, phrases it a little differently. The Rambam writes that we're talking about, they don't necessarily eat at his table all the time. We're talking about, for example, that let's say, for example, they do work for him. And then instead of paying them in money, he invites them to eat by him and pays for their food. So it's not necessarily like they're all the time eating by him. It's sometime on a regular basis when they're doing work for him or something like that. Like Kfarim in Israel, like what? Oh, you mean like in the kibbutzim or whatever? I don't know, like that, because in the kibbutzim, they always eat in the same dining room. So that would be more like a summer camp or something. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Mishi Yeshle Beis Shar Achsadro Mepeses B'Chatzar Chaver, right? If somebody has a Beis Shar, which is a gatehouse, or an Achsadro, which is an area that's enclosed in on three sides and open on the fourth, or mirpeses, which we've learned before, is like a gallery. It's an upstairs thing. You go up to it with steps, and then you have a gallery over there from which you go into the individual apartments over there. Like you find that in some motels, for example. You go to some motels, you have something like that. You have an outside gallery that you walk along it, and then you go into the individual. You go into the individual units, right? So somebody has something like that in somebody else's chotzer, even if he lives there. Hareze, you know, also all of, he doesn't aser the people in the chotzer from carrying, because those are not places that are suitable to live in. So even if he's living there on a temporary basis, like a homeless person or whatever, it doesn't count. On the other hand, es besa teven ve es besa bakar, but if he has a building over there that he uses for storing straw, or a place where he keeps his animals, Besa Eitzim, or he keeps wood, or Besa Oitzris, or he keeps other kinds of things that he stores away. Hareza Oisa Olav, then he is answering it for the people who live over there. So Tosfos later on in the next parak discusses when we say over here Besa Teven, even if there's no actual straw in there right now, just the fact that he sometimes uses it for storing straw, and it is someplace where you could live in it if you wanted, because it is a building, that's enough to ask, says the Tanakhama. Like a barn, sort of. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Oisa Ela Mekayim Dira Bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only a place where you're actually living, Asers. So if he's not actually living there, then it's no problem, even though he doesn't participate in Eid. And Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Maisib Ben Napcha Shoyle Chomesh Chatzeres Bursha. You have an example of Ben Napcha, who had five Chatzeres, or five Oitzrits, it says on the side. Over here, he had five storage houses in a particular Chatzer in Usha. So he didn't actually live there, but he had these storage houses in a chatzer. The case was brought to the chachamim. Does Ben Napcha have to participate in that chatzer's eruv? Does he have to contribute food? And if he doesn't, is he asking them to carry? And the chacham said, "Eina oisa ela beis dira bavad. Only a place where you're living, asers." And Mar says, "What do you mean, beis dira sakudaydach? What do you mean, dafka only a place?" Dafka, only a place where a person is actually living? No, you're right. We mean as a place that's suitable for living in. So in other words, like we said before, so if you have, it's a place that's not really suitable for living, for example, a base shah, then it doesn't matter if somebody's actually living there. It still doesn't count. And vice versa, if you have a base ateven or whatever, which is it's suitable for living in, but nobody actually lives there, then also it's not oisu. You need both. In other words, you need to have that, it needs to be, well, it needs to be Mokum Dira. So now we're going to discuss, we'll discuss tomorrow, Bez Hashem, Rav and Shmuel argue within that, what does Mokum Dira mean? And that's going to relate back to our Mishnah about, is it the place where the person eats or where the person sleeps? But you have to have that. In other words, if it's not that, then you don't have a problem. Okay.